Well, hello, Northview. Good morning. It's great to be here with all of you. I want to welcome all of our campuses, and I want to welcome all of you here at our Carmel campus and to those that are watching online, and to those at our Fishers campus, I want to welcome them, and to our Greater Lafayette campus. Hey, gang. And I want to give a shout out and to welcome all of, to invite all of you to a night of worship tonight at 6 o'clock at our Greater Lafayette campus. And so we have the exact same team that led the night of worship here a few weeks ago. They will be up at the Greater Lafayette campus, and we are going to have an awesome time worshiping our amazing God together as the body of Christ. And so if you've never journeyed on up, come on up 65 and head over to our campus, and it starts at 6. We're going to have a great time. Maybe you go a little early. You can go to Triple X for dinner and then meet us over there. Just to let you know, Triple X is a restaurant, just to confirm. It's a great restaurant, very famous one in West Lafayette in the Purdue community. And so we want to invite you for that. Well, as we begin, let me pray and ask God to bless our time together. Father God, we come before you, and it's so good to be together and to worship your amazing and holy name. And Father, thank you for your love that you generously pour out to us each and every day. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we just love you. And right now, I pray in this moment that I would be speaking your words and that your Holy Spirit would speak in this place, penetrate our hearts, convict us, challenge us, move us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what are you afraid of? There are over 780 phobias. Maybe you're not afraid of much, but you like to scare other people and give them fears. You hide around corners, scare your kids, friends, or coworkers. You love to do practical jokes. And well, from time to time, I love to pull some practical jokes myself. About 6 years ago, when I was the student ministry director at the Carmel campus, my student worship pastor was Josh Cecil. And we came up with a little harmless practical joke that might have traumatized those students to this day, but man, was it fun. So here was the plan. We had heard of a group of about 15 students who were going to go and TP Steve Poe's house, and they were going to meet up at North Beach. Well, now Northview students at North Beach has always had a police officer present for security. And at that time, Vincent was our regular officer. He was there weekly, and the students all knew him and really liked him. And so we told him that we were going to do, and he was like, oh yeah, I'll help with this. This is going to be great. So we told him what we were going to do, and the students got to North Beach around 11:30 that night. What they didn't know was that two of our adult leaders had bought those economy-sized packages of toilet paper. You know, the ones that take up the entire shopping cart at Sam's Club. The economy pack where you feel awkward just having them in the cart. Well, anyway, we bought a bunch of those packs and stuck them in the students' cars, acting as if they were going to go out and help them TP. Well, right before the students got to the church, Josh, Cecil, and Mark Murnane were in a tree outside of North Beach in a nearby bush, hiding and filming all of this. The students gathered and were getting a plan to head to Steve's house when all of a sudden, Vincent pulls up in his police car. He gets out and asks him, what are you guys doing at the church this late? Well, the students say, oh, nothing. And they start to panic. He then checks in some cars and pulls out the giant rolls of toilet paper. And the adult leaders may or may not have thrown some cans of spray paint in there, which the kids are shocked to see. It's getting good, isn't it, now? Vincent, the police officer, then has them sit down on the sidewalk and goes to his car like he's calling into the station. He comes back and then he collects IDs from the students. Now they are getting scared and freaking out. And I need to add that these kids were all amazing kids who were leaders in our youth group. They just decided to TP Steve Poe's house that night. Well, Vincent comes back and says, guys, I'm going to have to call Dave, and he's going to have to come here, and we'll see what we need to do. So I get the anticipated call and make my way to North Beach in my pajamas. While I'm en route, a few girls are crying, and then the group circles up and begins to pray. They're praying because they're scared, but I love that they prayed. I mean, that's great. So I arrive in my pajamas, and it's now after midnight. I arrive with a shocked look on my face that says, what are you guys doing, and why am I here after midnight? Well, Vincent is talking to me, and I'm trying not to laugh while I'm telling him, you are awesome. This is great. So I go over to the students, and I say, guys, what are you doing? I can't believe this. I have to preach in the morning, which I did. That weekend, Steve was off. And some of them are saying, Dave, please, please, I don't want my parents to be called this late. I said, well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to Vincent and we'll see what we can do. So I talk to Vincent and I come back to the students and I say, you all just fell for an amazing prank and you just got punked. At that point, Mark and Josh jump out of the tree and bush with the cameras. The students are going crazy. Some are jumping up and down while others have their hand in their head in total relief. It was epic. And we've talked about it for years. So Steve, you can thank me that your house didn't get teepeed that night. Well, we all have fears. So what are you afraid of? What keeps you up at night? Scientists have discovered a worry gene. It says that people have a predisposition genetically to fear. If you have the shorter version of this gene compared to the longer gene, you will worry more. So the question is, are you worried that you have this gene now? Well, we have a lot of fears and worries. As I was preparing for my sermon, I put a question out on Facebook asking people what fears they have. And the responses were some very real and personal fears that I'm sure many of us have. Fears of being alone or never finding someone to love you. Fears of messing up. Fears from our past. Fears of getting sick. Fears about our finances and retirement. Fears of divorce. Fears of not living up to expectations. Fears of not living for God or missing opportunities to share your faith. Fears of being accepted, fears of becoming a burden to someone, fears of letting others down, fears of wondering if we are doing life right, fears of being who we really are, fears that God won't answer the prayers that I've been praying for a long time. Are you a parent? I could go on and on fears there. Fears of messing up our kids, fears of our kids getting hurt or sick. Fears that they won't have a relationship with Christ or will abandon their faith. Fears that when they leave the house, are they safe? Are they safe at school? Are they safe with that person? Are they safe with their friends? Fears of their future. Fears when they start driving. Some of you are in that stage of life now. Fears when they start dating. Fears, fears, and more fears. I could go on and on. My wife and I laugh about how she can be a doomsday thinker sometimes. You know, we're at the beach and we could be eaten by sharks. We're running in the rain and we could be struck by lightning. The kids are swimming at the lake and they're going to get the brain-eating amoeba. I don't know, maybe moms just have this gene where they're just protecting their kids and they're looking at all of those different scenarios. You know, in the Bible, we see real people with real fears and worries. And sometimes we think that those guys or heroes of the faith didn't worry, that they just always trusted God. But that's not always the case. So let's look at Matthew chapter 8 together, starting in verse 23. Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, this is Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And it's interesting to note that the disciples followed Jesus into the boat and a storm erupted. Storms happen fast on the Sea of Galilee, and it was a common occurrence. The lake sits in a basin 685 feet below sea level, surrounded by hills 2,000 feet high. And when the winds would come across those hills, they would sweep down quickly with great force. And the word in the Greek for furious storm is the word used for hurricane. It's a tremendously powerful storm. So they followed Jesus, and a storm erupted. When following Jesus, storms will happen in life. Doesn't mean he causes them, but they will happen. It's inevitable. Storms erupt. Cancer is diagnosed. Kids get sick. Relationships get rocky. Bad things happen at times. And there's no get out of trials card given out when you become a Christian. Jesus said, "In this life, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world." So the disciples were in the boat terrified. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. And it reminded me of a time when I was a kid. And every summer, I would go with my dad fishing to Canada. And so we would drive up to International Falls or to Red Lake in Ontario. And then we would fly into our lake and our cabin. And we'd fish for the entire week. It was such a great experience. And so when I was about 12, we were fishing out in the main body of the water and a storm erupted, which can happen in Canada very quickly as well. And so we're in a Lund aluminum fishing boat, and they have about a 10 to 15 horsepower motor. So the storm erupts, and the waves now are crashing over the boat, and the wind's howling probably about 30 to 40 miles an hour, and so now we are making our way back to the cabin. So Dad's got it full throttle, and I'm in the front of the boat to add weight to the front, and I've gripped the front, and the waves are crashing in, and every time we'd go down and the next wave would begin to look like it's gonna overcome the boat, and I am terrified. I'm gripping the boat and I'm screaming, and I look back at my dad and he's laughing. And so every time we'd go over this wave and I think it's gonna come crashing over, and I'm screaming, and I look back at Dad and he's laughing. And so we finally got back to the cabin, and I said, "Dad, I was terrified. And every time I looked back at you, you were laughing." And he said, "Oh, I thought you were having a great time, like this was a roller coaster for you." And you know, Jesus wasn't laughing here, but he was sleeping, which seems like an equally odd behavior during a moment like this. The disciples are not only confused, but they're ticked. They needed all hands on deck to man the ship. How could Jesus be sleeping through this? Was he a sound sleeper, just really tired? Or being God, some wind and waves were not worthy of worry. Whatever it was, he was woken up by the disciples, terrified, and telling him they're going to drown. And these guys have seen Jesus do the miraculous, yet they thought they were going to die. And sometimes I think we fear so much because we forget who is in our boat. The disciples forgot who was in the boat. Jesus said, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" He then got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and they listened, which is crazy. And it was completely calm. That must have been amazing. There wasn't a slight wind or a small chop on the water. It was completely calm. The disciples were amazed. And in Mark's version of this story, the disciples ask, "Who is this?" And you see, Jesus has demonstrated the power over disease, demons, and death. And now he shows he's the master over weather. And for fishermen, this is powerful. And in Mark 1:27, they asked, "What is this?" But now the question has become, "Who is this?" And that's the key question this miracle is designed to answer. Friends, who is Jesus to you? Is he God? Is he greater than your fears? Is he bigger than your worries? You see, Jesus is everything to everybody. It doesn't matter what you do. He is greater. Are you a carpenter? He's the door. Are you a doctor? He's the great physician. Are you an electrician? He's the light of the world. Are you a geologist? He's the rock of ages. Are you a lawyer? He's the advocate to the Father. Are you a mortician? He's the resurrection and the life. Are you an optometrist? He's the one that made the blind man see. Are you a psychologist? He's the wonderful counselor. Are you a philosopher? He's the truth. Are you a traveler? He's the way. Are you an architect? He's the chief cornerstone. Are you a photographer? He's the image of the invisible God. Are you a historian? He's the ancient of days. Are you an author? He's the word of life. Are you a postman? He's the deliverer. He is Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God, and he's greater than our fears. He's greater than our worries. Who have you invited in the boat? Is it Jesus? Do you trust him to be greater than your fears? Fear is defined to be afraid of someone or something, likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. And you know, fear is a bully. He stands at the door in our minds and bullies us and pushes us around until we are beaten down and beaten up. We fear pushing through that door to fight for our marriage. We fear being a spiritual leader for our families. We fear taking a risk for God and failing. We fear being authentic, and the result is that we settle for shallow surface relationships. We settle for crummy marriages. We settle for letting our wives lead our families spiritually. We settle and let fear bully us into never going through the door and overcoming those fears. And we invite fear into our boat. 1 John 4:18 in the Amplified Version says, "There is no fear in love, but full-grown love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror." John not only gives us an action step to take to overcome our fears, but he points to the only power that makes defeating our fears possible. John is stating to take action over our fears. We're not to be passive. Don't keep inviting those fears to take a seat in the boat. And so often we invite fear into our boat by letting those fears take residence in our hearts. We dwell and dwell on them and never give them over to God. I love what Stephen Furtick says in his book, Crash the Chatterbox, which I really recommend. It's a great book. He says, "You either kick fear out of your heart, or it will keep you out of the places God has prepared for you." In other words, you keep handing the bully your lunch money, don't be surprised if he keeps taking it. If God is calling you to do something and you keep waiting for your fear to subside, you're going to be waiting a long time. Some of you listening to this have been called to reconcile a relationship, and you have let fear keep you from making that step. Maybe God is calling you to go on a mission trip, and you've let the fear of flying or the fear of raising your finances keep you from going. He will provide. What about leading a life group? Have you let the fear of knowing all the answers keep you from stepping up? God is calling you. Dale Carnegie said, "Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer your fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy." And I know that's the worst thing for me. Just sitting and thinking about my fears makes them worse. And I'll be honest, I've had the fears of coming up to preach. I've had to follow Bob Russell. Are you kidding me? Mike Barrow? These guys are amazing. And I love the trailer video of the Summer of Spectacular Speakers. And they show Randy Frazee, and then he says something awesome. And then Mike Baker brings the word in a clip. Amazing trailer. I was watching this, and I'm pumped up. And then my name comes up. No powerful word or big tease of what's to come. It's just my name. And I'm thinking, I'm the one that needs the big trailer of something I said. I'm just Dave. So yeah, I've had the fear of coming up to preach after these guys. Fears that they have something awesome to say and that I won't. Fear that my iPad will stop working while I'm up here. Fear that I will trip on those steps over there. And you know, we can get sidetracked by just dwelling on our fears. Or we can do something about it. We can trust that God is greater. I can trust that God has a word for all of us today and that I am blessed to be his messenger because it's about him and he has a word for all of us today that he wants to share with us. The point is, we don't get stronger in our faith by sitting on the sidelines and wallowing in our fears. We don't get stronger in our faith by avoiding our fears. The only way to expel every trace of terror is by knocking down that door of fear and charging through it with a faith that our God is greater, trusting that he has already gone before me. And I mean, I walked up those steps today and I didn't trip. Fear overcome. Fear is real. So how often do you worry and fear things? Is it so serious that you have physical symptoms, chest pains, dizzy spells, panic attacks, nausea? And for some of you, this has been a struggle, a real struggle for a long time. And I want to encourage you today, it's not wrong to get help from a qualified medical professional to help you navigate this more extreme side of fear. Your action step may be to seek help. Call the church office at any of our campuses and we can recommend a Christian counselor. It may be God's way of beginning some healing for you. Jesus wants us to go from panic to peace. Worry focuses on improbable difficulties and produces inaction. And often the way to cure worry is to take action. Nervous about the test? Then study. Concerned about your finances? Put yourself on a budget. Anxious about your health? Go to a doctor and follow their counsel. Worried about your marriage? Strengthen it by taking dynamic marriage course or attending Better Together classes or take action and to seek counseling in your marriage to begin that healing that God so wants for you. You see, worry always asks, what if? What if I get sick? What if I get fired? What if my kids don't succeed? What if is always about the future. It's about the unknown. It's about things we can't control. So what can we control? We can control who we invite in the boat. When we invite Jesus in our boat, the fear turns to faith. We don't have to fear the future when we know who we are trusting in. If you have your notes, pull those out and write this down. We don't have to fear the future when we know who we are trusting in. John said the power to defeat fear and knock down that door of fear is found in the love of God. When a specific fear comes into your mind, know that God has the power to defeat that fear. It's like God is Liam Neeson in the movie Taken and someone is messing with his kids. He's ready to take down that fear. Stephen Furtick says, God's great love is the reality that towers 3 feet above fear and says, you mess with him, you mess with me. Fear has no choice but to relocate it when God's love grabs it by the collar and says, you're not welcome here. That's what God does to fear. He kicks it out of our hearts and his peace and love dwells instead. And there might be a storm raging in your life. The circumstances that you find yourself in, it just seems like the wind and the waves are howling. But the promises of God's word is that no matter, even if that storm is raging, internally the storm can become peace that passes all understanding. That he can replace that fear with the love and the peace and the joy that can only come from Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants to do, friends. He wants to kick that fear out and replace it with a love and a joy that only comes from him. So often, we welcome those lies of fear in our hearts and minds. So how is fear a liar? Number one, fear steals our freedom. Steals our freedom. Fear lies to us by telling us God is not capable of handling our futures. We try to control all outcomes. We try to control our kids' futures. We try to control relationships we have. And no wonder we are so angry and tired. We live in frustration because things are out of our control, which leads to fear. And that fear steals our freedom. That's why surrendering those fears, surrendering our control to God, is so vital to have freedom and peace in our life. What do you need to surrender to God today? What fear do you need to give over to Him? This is as easy as going to God in prayer and saying, God, these are my fears. Help me give them to You. Or God, I surrender these fears to You. Remind me that You are in control. Help me in my unbelief. And this might be something you have to surrender more than once, maybe even daily, but trust Him. Number two, fear robs our joy. About a month ago, we were having family game night at our house, which is normally a great and fun time. I have three kids, just Jackson's 10, Avery is 7, and Maya's 5. And we usually try to find some games that a 5-year-old, too, can join in and have a great time. So we're usually playing Disney Apple to Apples or Uno and games like that. And it's normally just such a great time. But for me, that night, I had such fear. I was worried about church stuff. And because of that, I was missing out on the moments. I wasn't laughing enough. I wasn't present in that situation, and to be able to really enjoy my kids and my wife and to enjoy that family time. And friends, that's what fear does. It robs our joy. It steals our moments. It takes away our peace. It strangles out love for life. Don't let that stress, worry, and fear ruin such precious moments in life. Be present when you're at home. If you have kids, they grow up so fast, and we've been given today. This is the gift that God's given us of today. And you know, so often, most people don't ruin their life. They waste their life. So many of us waste days away in fear and stress, and we're missing out on today's gift that God's given us. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us see it as a gift and cherish it. Look at our blessings. Look at the things that God has surrounded us with that are such joy. Let us not miss those. Let us not have fear rob us of our joy that He wants to give us. Number three, fear keeps us in hiding. In Genesis 3, right after Adam and Eve ate the apple and sinned, they ran and hid. It says in verse 9 and 10, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" Fear forces us into hiding. Hiding from our mistakes. Hiding in fear of our past. Hiding so no one can hurt me again. Hiding from making other mistakes. And the amazing grace of our God is that He provided clothing for Adam and Eve with killing an animal, and they were covered. And in the same way, Jesus sacrificed His life on the cross and covered our sins so that we could come out of hiding and be redeemed and forgiven. And that only happens by taking the step out of the shadows and into the light, where we are redeemed and set free by the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Friends, maybe you need to come out of the shadows and find redemption and freedom from your past. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness from someone and to go on a path of healing. Number four, fear paralyzes us with lies. Friends, who have you invited in the boat? Fear is a liar and a bully, and the only way to take that step of faith is to trust God. We need to be reminded of His promises, and we need to dispel the lies of the enemy with the truth of God's word. Fear is a liar, and God's word is the truth. So don't focus on fear. Focus on faith. Focus on God's word. The battle is in our minds, and the enemy is going to constantly drop thoughts of discouragement and negativity our way. God's word gives us the victory in each of those battles. Maybe you need to memorize one of these scripture verses, and when fear grips you, speak back to that fear. Knock down that door with God's word. Maybe you need to put this around your home in different places, maybe in a bathroom mirror. Put it on your phone as a reminder, and every few hours that comes up on your phone, and you might be struggling, and there, right there is God's word to remind you, I don't have to fear this. I can put my focus on faith and to trust God. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Did you know that this is the most given command in the Bible? Do not be afraid. 366 times throughout the Bible, one for each day of the year, including leap year. He's reminding us, do not be afraid. The disciples learned that day that there is only one fear to have, the fear of God. Matthew 10:28, I love this. It's a message version. It says, don't be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body, and soul in his hands. I love what my friend John says. Who we fear will ultimately determine what we fear in life, and maybe more importantly, what we don't fear. You see, fear and worry are learned behaviors. And like all learned behaviors, it can be unlearned. And the best way to unlearn fear is to let God love you. Let him love you. Receive it. Open up to him, because he's also a dad. Years ago, some Native American tribes had a rite of passage, and when a boy reached the age of 13, the boy was blindfolded, led out into the woods, and left to spend the night alone. His courage would be proven if he could sit and listen to the frightening sounds of the night without removing the blindfold. And when he felt the warmth of the morning sun, he was allowed to remove the blindfold to find that his father was sitting just a few feet away. Unknown to the boy, his father had been by his side throughout the night, watching over him and protecting him from any real danger. That's our heavenly dad too. He's right beside you. He's with you. And you might be going through some terrifying times right now. Can I just encourage you? Maybe you're in the storm right now. What are you picturing? The storm, the waves, the wind? That's our nature to do that. But look around. You see the boat? Jesus is in the boat. Look at Jesus. He's not worried. He's not panicking. He's in control. Trust him. Invite him in the boat of your storm, and may the peace of God comfort you, and may your faith in God grow. Because we don't have to fear when we know who we are trusting in. Amen. Right now, we're going to close our service here with a song. And this song has meant a lot to me in the last 3 years. It's a David Crowder song called Sometimes. And I know you're probably thinking, every time I preach, there's a David Crowder song. You're right. His songs just really speak to me. And this is one of those songs that in the last 3 years where God has maybe called me to take a step of faith, and for me to focus not on that fear, but to focus on the vast and amazing love of God. That where he's calling us to go, that we will follow. And the song talks about his love is so vast, it's like an ocean without a shore. So in this moment, I just want to encourage you. Take this time, listen to these words. May they soak over you. Maybe God is calling you to take a step of faith. Maybe God is calling you to really trust him, to invite him in the boat of the storm of your life, to look to him. And this song builds, and it goes into a time where you go, I will follow, and I won't be afraid. We won't be afraid because we know Jesus is greater than any of our fears and worries. And so in this moment, will you just allow Jesus, His Holy Spirit, to just minister to you, to speak to you, to cry out to Him? Let me pray. Jesus, we come to you right now. And in this moment, Lord, I know that we in this room find ourselves all over in different things that we're going through in life. Some of us are really battling the storms and they're raging. And God, right now, I pray that you would speak to us through this song, that you would minister to us, and that no matter what you're calling us to, we will not be afraid because you are with us.